Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here it comes. Line drive, base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Brujan scores. Ian Happ walks it off as the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2 in 10.
That was the Cubs' 44th win of the year. That happened yesterday. Great call by Zach Zaman. The Cubs improved to 44-28 on the season. And so they are not only atop the Central, they have the second largest lead of any division. The only team with a better lead in baseball is what the Detroit Tigers have. The Tigers are 9 games up on the Minnesota Twins. The Cubs currently 5.5 games up on the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are in town tomorrow at Wrigley Field. The Cubs and Sox both off today. And so we'll have that for you on 6M. The Score pregame begins at 6:30 in that matchup. Ben Brown will go tomorrow with a 7:05 first pitch. Coming up in just about 5 minutes, Odyssey and Score reporter Chris Emma will join us. We'll talk some Bears with him. He wrote a great article at 670thescore.com about this running back core for the Bears, what they like, what they may need. So we'll talk to Emma about that in just a minute. We have been talking about windows, though. I don't mean windows at your home. You may have heard some advertising about windows on your home, but I'm talking about this Cubs window currently right now. And, you know, Bruce Levine, who I thought made a great point on Inside the Clubhouse, not only talking about why he has this as a 2-year window currently, so we are in the midst of one of those 2 years, but don't forget about what a lot of people are expecting to happen in 2027, and that's a potential lockout. The CBA is up, right? Not to get too much in the weeds. I don't want to because I don't find it that interesting. I just want baseball. But if we all know that what a salary cap is, baseball does not have one. You know who really likes that? And you would too if you were a Major League Baseball player? The players don't, right? The owners, they'd probably prefer a salary cap, much like the NFL. The NFL seems to work like a well-oiled machine with their salary cap. But the problem is Major League Baseball has never had one. So you better believe the players don't want one. And if that is a sticking point, we may not get 162 games in 2027. So when it comes to the fickle beast that is a window, you got to be really careful ever kicking the can down the road and say, well, we don't want to trade this young guy because we think we could pop next year. Or we want to hold on to this player because we think they could become something in 2 years from now. They could become something. You know, in 2015, I think a lot of people thought that the Cubs got to where they were success-wise much faster than the window laid it out. Jed Hoyer in a podcast, The Show, with Joel Sherman and John Heyman, I thought this was really interesting what he said when asked, does he feel pressure to be aggressive because they have not been very good since 2016?
If there's the right transaction that makes sense to push in, you want to do that. I don't think you can force that to happen. You know, obviously we were super aggressive in 2016, but we also hadn't won a World Series in 108 years. And it felt like that was, you know, the right time to do it. So I think you have to balance a lot of different factors, but if there's a transaction that you feel like can really help fill a significant hole and change you and really change your fortunes, I think that's something you always have to consider. You know, sustained success is obviously the goal. It's the goal for every team. But you also have to be humble enough to realize, like, sometimes teams come together really well and sometimes they don't. And, you know, I think that when you 6 weeks from now, if we're at the deadline and things are going well, you have to always evaluate those seasons when if things are going well.
You know, I don't want to be all Ricky Bobby and be all, if you ain't first, you're last. Because I don't think that the only team that has success in a season is the team that wins a championship. But the part that gave me pause with what Jed Hoyer said there is the goal is sustained success. Sure, I guess. But imagine in 2016, if they thought, we may not want to go in really heavy this year because next year we'd be really, really good. The beautiful part about 2016 is they weren't just super aggressive. They were desperate to win, right? That organization was desperate to say goodbye to 108 after 108 years. They were only thinking of that moment in time. So sure, sustained success is a beautiful goal, but maybe more importantly, to take a look at 2016, a goal I think that's the most worth it is to put yourself in a place where you may just have to be super aggressive. Build a team where you say, this is probably the time to do it. So if you look at this Cubs roster, we all know Kyle Tucker, his contract is up in 2025. But if you take a look at 2026, that's Suzuki's last year. That's Hap's last year. That's Nico Horner's last year. That's Jameson Taillon's last year. You know who isn't on this team as of now next year? Really the better part of this bullpen. The bullpen that has settled into really being the best in baseball. Drew Pomeranz may not be back. Brad Keller's contract is up. Caleb Thielbar's contract is up. And Ryan Pressly's contract is up. Now, if those are names you may not have thought, why would you ever make the case that the window is now with those names? I'd be surprised too. Check their ERAs. Check how good this bullpen has been. So when we talk about the window, when you talk about players you may not want to give up, by the way, I do not think they should move Kate Horton, really, for anybody. I don't think Chris Sale is going to be available. But whatever prospects you're holding on to, be very, very careful with the fickle beast that is a team's window or just assuming sustained success, because it is easier to project the rest of this season and that finite amount of games instead of trying to project 162 of next year and what may happen in 2027 with the CBA. All right, back to the Bears. I like this guy a lot. He's kind enough to jump in studio with us, believe it or not. Chris Emma, Odyssey and 6-7 The Score reporter, wrote a great piece recently about the running back room. We'll talk much, much more about that. But Emma, let's begin there. What made you want to explore what's going on with the running backs and the Bears?
I mean, it's been fascinating. Backdated to March of 2024, and they were desperate to find a back in the free agent market. And some good guys out there, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, they went right away and struck a deal with DeAndre Swift. 3-year deal, $24 million. They thought he was going to be the right fit, not only for last season, but for longer term. And they thought that price was going to be too high as some of these other guys. And they thought somebody like a Jacobs was on the back nine of his career. And it didn't work out with DeAndre Swift last year, 3.7 yards per touch. And he didn't take off the way that they had hoped for a lot of reasons. You know, the offensive line was a mess for a lot of last season. He wasn't necessarily the right fit for that scheme, but what they were trying to do. And here we are now, like, they looked at the open market. There wasn't anything really out there in free agency. The draft had plenty of options. You know, they were obviously very interested in Nash and Jeonte, but they weren't going to trade up a haul to get him in the top five. They wanted Travion Henderson. He went pick 38. The Bears picked 39. They looked to the fourth round. They, Cam Scannaboo's right there on the board at the start of day three. Gets picked up a couple spots right before them. So they were eager to find somebody, but they did it in the back of their mind thinking, if DeAndre Swift is our lead back going into 2025, that's fine. And they still believe in him. They think he's going to bounce back this season. They could have parted ways if they wanted to. They still are bullish on his future because of the fact that he's got better protection in front of him. He's got three new starters in the interior, perhaps four starters entirely new on the offensive line. And you got an offense that can maximize somebody of Swift's ability led by Ben Johnson. More importantly, I think the thing you can underrate is that he's got a coach in Eric Bieniemy who's going to like coach him up. This is a guy who you hear Eric Bieniemy in practice every day. I did a segment on this radio station last week during practice from like 100 yards away from the field. I could still hear Eric Bieniemy's voice coaching those guys up. Like, he is tough. He is demanding. And DeAndre Swift said he loves it. That's something that really kind of gets through to him well. So I think the hope is that DeAndre Swift can get back to the guy who's explosive, who hits the hole the right way, who's not dancing in the backfield and desperate to get whatever he can out of those touches. And I think the Bears really believe that he can have a strong bounce back season, and I tend to believe that as well.
Can we look at the first two picks in the draft, which were both pass catchers, and assume that the conversations behind closed doors, somewhere in there, Ben Johnson had to be okay with DeAndre Swift as being his number one back. Otherwise, I think they would have gone another direction. Whether they may have moved back a little bit, but if Ben Johnson was really uncomfortable with DeAndre Swift, I think that the draft for those first two rounds would have gone very differently. At least not waiting till the seventh round to get a running back, right? Like, I think the evidence shows that they may not love DeAndre Swift, and Ben Johnson's had him before in Detroit, but I think you can find evidence that they are at least somewhat comfortable with Swift.
Yeah, look, he's an effective back. Last year was a down year for him. I wouldn't put that on Swift. I still think he's a very productive back. We've seen him have some of those moments. Even last season, there were some big-time plays where he gets out in the open field, he's just gone. He's got that kind of breakaway speed. I think he's a really important gadget in this offense, which is funny to say about a guy who's your lead back. But, like, Ben Johnson's going to have some ideas for this guy and what he can do within this scheme. And I think he's a really good fit for what they want to do. And more importantly now, I think they're just better equipped for DeAndre Swift to be their starting running back. Like I said, Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, you've got three major upgrades in the interior of your offensive line. Darnell Wright's a guy who I think is going to keep getting arrow pointed up better and better at that tackle spot, whether it's right tackle or maybe even left tackle if he makes that switch. Obviously, the other tackle spot is up for grabs. I'm still betting on Ozzie Trapillo being the starter. I think at some form you're going to have a really improved offensive line that's going to be able to block for these guys again. And I think that's really good news for DeAndre Swift. I think he, along with Roschon Johnson as well, who I think Bears are eager to see him used properly, which he just wasn't used properly last year, and they still believe in him as well. So throw those two with Kyle Manungai jumping into the mix and somebody that they think has some upside. They want to get him coached. They want to get him really developed behind the scenes. But you've got some options there in the backfield where it's not the most exciting thing, and I don't think it really inspires a ton of confidence on the outside, but internally at House Hall, they believe in this group.
He is Score reporter Chris Emma. Chetzer Richards with you here on 6-7 The Score. Thanks for joining us on your Monday night. So, Emma, you know, you've had an opportunity to be out there seeing it. We now have this long, long wait till we get back to training camp and seeing this 2025 Bears get to work, but you know, we've discussed Ben Johnson's intensity, but just overall, the practices, you mentioned Bieniemy and what he sounded like, but I hate to invoke his name, although Eberflus's name has been mentioned a lot today because of a recent visit on a podcast, but just, you know, kind of comparing, contrasting what these practices look like from what you've seen from years past.
I mean, so I'm going on my 11th season now covering the Bears. I've covered different levels of football as well. I've covered a bunch of different head coaches, including now four in Chicago. I've never heard a head coach get on guys like this. I've never, really? You know, yeah, it just, you hear, yes, without a doubt. And, you know, I cover Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, who's got a prominent voice when he was out there, and guys like that. But, like, I've never heard a head coach like that. Moments where practice stops and everything, you hear somebody yell. And usually it's like an assistant coach who just gets on guys, or offensive line coach telling his guys, you know, this or that. Practice multiple times during the offseason program, by the way, not training camp, like during May and June. Practice just comes to a halt, and you hear some really bad words you can't say on radio, and that's the head coach, and you kind of do a double take, like, oh, okay. When the Bears were going through this search at the end of last year, after firing Matt Eberflus and going into early January, all the conversations I had with people who have been around Ben Johnson was not so much focus on the offensive innovation, because you know what's there. You've seen the proofs in the pudding. He's really good at scheming up an offense, but how is he as a leader? Like, I think too often in these coaching searches in general, you get caught up in, well, he had a top five offense or top 10 defense. Like, how are these guys leading a team when things are falling apart on you? How are you navigating the ship? And everything I heard about Ben Johnson as a leader, forget just the offensive side, but as a true leader in front of the room, said this is exactly what this team needed. Like, not just good fit, but great fit. You heard a lot last year, players saying, we want to be coached up. We want structure. We want this, that. They're getting it now. Like, they are absolutely getting it. And Cole Kmet wore that C on his chest last year as one of the most respected players in that locker room. Ben Johnson was on him for, like, little details of get lined up here instead of here. Like, that's what they need. Focus on the details. And how that translates now to the season, last year during training camp, there were so many times where they would get up to the line, there'd be a false start or a holding penalty, and just kind of get back and run the play. There was no coaching points to this, and you get into the season and it's sloppy and disjointed. It's not going to be the case now. Like, they are correcting these things. They are holding players accountable when they're messing up in practice, and penalties aren't acceptable. We've heard Ben Johnson say mistakes are okay, get them out of the way, but like, they're not going to deal with nonsense. They're not going to deal with the guy whose stance is sloppy, who's lined up off the line the wrong spot. Like, they're just not putting up with that anymore, and the details matter now for the Bears, and I think that's going to make a big difference once you get to the season.
He's score reporter Chris Emma. So Emma, what have we seen from Caleb Williams? I know that, you know, whenever you're at a place of we're still switching feet, it gives you an idea of how far Caleb Williams has to go in this offense, right? I mean, he, you know, in my opinion, I think he's a little bit closer to a rookie than a second year guy just because of how things went last year, starting over with Ben Johnson. As you mentioned, you know, Ben's not going to let anything slide by. So everything is going to be done right, which means you may be doing it 2, 3, 4 times to get it right. How does Caleb look to you?
It's funny. You mentioned like the footwork and all that stuff. I keep thinking about, like I said, I've covered this team for more than a decade now, and how many different quarterbacks, and especially with Trubisky and Fields, and like, the way the Bears have done this, where they have a lame duck coach lead a rookie season and fire that coach and bring in a new coach to develop these guys, and it's back to 101, and we're going to work on this and that. It's like, the Bears have repeated this cycle far too many times, where it's just unacceptable. Like, I like that the details are being coached, and I just harped on that, how good it is for this entire team, and it's going to make a difference for Caleb Williams. I really believe they have the right quarterback, and I really believe they have the right head coach, and I think this marriage is going to work out well. This is the time for the basics, for the footwork, for different details of the technique. I'm thinking ahead now. I'm thinking to July and August, those days where it's ones-on-ones and it's hot outside, and it's one of those miserable training camp days. It feels like year after year, day after day in these practices, you hear the defense is ahead of the offense. The defense, I want to see that switch. I want to see the offense have its day where it's just dictating the practices and picking apart the defense. I want to see Caleb Williams be the best player on the field a lot of those days in practice, because I think he's that talented. He's being coached up the right way. Now he's working through the fundamentals technique. He's spending a lot of time, not just the last 2 months in the offseason program, but the next 6 weeks or thereabouts to get ready for training camp, where he's going to come in as a more complete player than he was at the start of this offseason before he got with Ben Johnson. And I want to see this all pay off. And maybe I'm getting greedy. You can probably say realistically he's not going to be at his best form till midseason, and that's okay. I wouldn't panic if he's not looking great right out of the gates, but I have high expectations for Caleb Williams, and I think everybody in Chicago too should as well. Like, I want to see those days where he's just dictating practices and really the best guy out there.
What did you make of the way Ben Johnson challenged Luther Burden? He used the T word. He used trust.
Yeah.
Trust cuts deep.
I don't know the details of what the injury is. It's hard for me to put. There's some frustration. I don't know if I put a ton into it. You can definitely sense there's a little bit of frustration. I'd worry about this more in training camp when you start looking to the bikes at the beginning of practice, seeing who's out there consistently and who's not getting ready. I think they still believe in Luther Burden. I don't have any concerns about that right now. And so many details of the offseason program I just tend to throw out. I'm eager to see him. I think he's going to be a playmaker for this offense. And I love the way that when you talk about the depth of playmakers on that side of the football, I mean, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, who I think I'm bullish on Rome this year. Like, I'm eager to see that trio come together, not to mention with Kmet, Loveland, Swift, everybody else you got on that side of the ball. Like, there's some toys there. You got some options for that offense. So I'm not panicking about Luther Burden at all right now. You hope he comes back healthy, good to go. Obviously, Loveland coming off his own injury as well, the offseason recovery. I'm excited to see this offense take shape once you get into camp.
Finally, pass rush. Little concern there, perhaps a little thin at this point.
Yeah, I love what they did with the interior. Like, adding Grady Jarrett, Shamar Turner to the mix as well, joining Jermon Dexter, Andrew Billings. You've got a good mix there. You've got some cords, some guys you can rotate. I'm still concerned about the pass rush. I think Montez Sweat's going to have a bounce back year if he stays healthy. Dio Dangbo's a good pickup, but I get some questions. Like, the production hasn't popped in years past, and they're really banking on disruption and upside and him pairing well with Sweat. They don't have a ton of depth on the edges, and I'd like to see more. I don't know if there's somebody out there who's going to be an immediate solution. You want to start developing some of these guys the right way. A guy like an Austin Booker who's been there. We heard Ben Johnson praising Dominic Robinson, who I think I was ready to write off. He hasn't done anything his first few years with the Bears. Like, you want to see somebody kind of emerge and help form some edge depth, because it's just been missing, and that's been a key element that's been lacking in this defensive identity, especially when it was Matt Eberflus, when you're not getting as exotic with a lot of these blitzes. Like, you needed to have get home consistently with four, and they just weren't able to do that at all. So that's probably my number one position concern, is that defensive end spot opposite Sweat. But we'll see how it comes together. I'm eager to see Odangbo once you get the pads on it. He's that guy who's wrecking plays in practice. Like, that's going to be a really good sign.
We're 6 short weeks away, Emma. Thanks for stopping by.
How many rounds of golf can I get in that time?
As many as you want.
Sounds great.
And then you got to get to work.
Yes. Take care, buddy.
See ya.
All right, good stuff there from Chris Emma. And again, enjoy that article, C-E-M-M-A 670. So C-Emma 670, follow him on Twitter or X, as the kids. Is everybody calling it now? I'm very late to the party on switching.
I'm still calling it Twitter.
Are we putting our foot down?
I just can't call it X anymore, like, ever. Like, it's always been Twitter to me.
The part I don't understand is, if someone sends out a tweet, do they send out an X? Are they Xing? I you know, the verbiage, the part that I found so absurd is, not only was it called Twitter, but we called it a tweet. Like, they literally had, they cornered the market on the word tweet, unless you're talking about waking up in the morning and hearing birds. So, like, how do I say Emma tweeted out this article that he wrote at odyssey.com or 670thescore.com about what happened with or the strength of the running backs? And is this room good enough to create some semblance of a Jahmyr Gibbs and a David Montgomery two-headed monster like Ben Johnson had in Detroit? How do I say that, Tyler? He X'd it? Makes no sense.
I was going to say, if you say you X'd it, that's like the complete opposite.
I crossed it out.
Yeah, right.
Right. All right. I guess we're just going to have to stick with Twitter on this one. And I still say, within that conversation, because I know you follow the draft board, blah, blah, blah. You follow the board, best player available, blah, blah, blah. You don't take best player available if you have a lot of depth at said position and that guy will never see the field. You just don't do it. So there is always this semblance of a combination of best player available and need. There just is. There just always is. So I don't think that if they were that desperate for a running back, or if they didn't think enough of DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, and perhaps they're comfortable of waiting to see how training camp shakes out for another running back, but Ben Johnson went after two pass catchers in his first two rounds. There were running backs available. Perhaps they would have traded backwards to get one of them if they didn't think that they were the caliber of that particular spot. But the way that their first three picks played out, Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, and then Ozzie Trapillo, tells me somewhere in there, Ben Johnson, who has had DeAndre Swift in a running back room of a team that he has been an offensive coordinator of, somewhere in there they think they can win with this group. Because it's risky to say, oh, let's wait to see how training camp shakes out, who gets released, who's cut, and who's available. But read what Chris Emma wrote. Just go to the internet. Go to the search bar. Could I find if you just typed in Chris Emma? 6-7 the score. That would do it, right?
Yeah, that would get you there, I think.
Because he X'd it. Tell me on the text line, how do you now say that you tweeted something? Because the one thing about Twitter, if you just quit it completely, cool. If you went to Blue Sky, or maybe you just don't do any of it, good for you. The problem with the Twitter is it is deeply ensconced in the sports world, right? Like, it is one of the best things it does is it offers you the first to breaking news, whether it's the Adam Schefter or the Ian Rappaports of the world, or, you know, the guy who has Starbucks son, Schultz, Jordan Schultz. Is it Jordan Schultz? Howard Schultz's son?
Jordan Schultz, yeah.
Yeah, you knew who his dad was? It was wild, wild. I only learned about that because of their back and forth with Ian Rappaport, that Howard Schultz or Jordan Schultz was probably standing in a Starbucks that he owned in some capacity because of who his dad was. But tell me how you say it now. I don't know how you say it. I'll tell you how to say this. Tom Verducci did a great interview with Spiegel and Holmes. They got into the Kyle Tucker contract extension. Maybe even more importantly or realistically, what may be down the road for Pete Crow Armstrong and making sure he is a longtime Chicago Cub. That's coming up next on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I mean, the ceiling's winning the World Series. I mean, that was our goal coming into the season, going into spring training. And, you know, I think we still have a really good shot at that. We have a really good team. And, you know, hopefully we can all come together as a group at the end of the year healthy and playing well and, you know, get that job done.
That was Kyle Tucker on the Marquee Sports Network before yesterday's win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. I always appreciate when you just say, it's not necessarily taboo by any means, but, you know, it's the quiet part. Like, it's all right to just put your goals out there and say it. And so Kyle Tucker, you know, point blank said it. Yeah, spring training, our goal is to go ahead and win the World Series. The team is absolutely in the hunt. The Cubs, as of right now, third best record in baseball. That was the start of today. And they are off today. The Cubs will take on the Brewers tomorrow. Sox are also off today. White Sox will try to break a five-game skid. They've got the Cardinals at the rate tomorrow. Shane Smith will go for the White Sox. Ben Brown will be on the mound for the Cubs. 7:05 first pitch right here on 670 The Score. We could be watching Kyle Tucker, the all-star. In fact, Kyle Tucker received 704,000 votes. That's second most in all National League outfielders. At the top of that list for outfielders, that's number one, and that is Pete Crow Armstrong. So PCA and Tucker, your top two vote-getters. By the way, we just had a very, very intense conversation about how you say you've now tweeted something since it's been called X. Couple coming in on the text line. This is from Normal Tom from the Mob. Hey, Normal Tom. He says, I twixed it, which is pretty good. Pretty good. I Normal Tom, I don't know if you came up with that. I think I've heard that before. But instead of tweeting it, you twixed it. And this from the 224, just say post it on X. I think that's a very mature way to say.
Sounds like the formal way to say it.
It is. It is very much so. I just posted it on X. Sounds like the way that an older, you know, parent or grandparent would tell you that they, you know, they got busy on the social media.
I Facebooked it.
I Facebooked it. Yeah. I Facebooked it. I Instagrammed it or I posted it on X. I hope, by the way, a belated Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to the dads out there. There's two kind of dads in this world. Tyler, you'll know soon enough. There are the dads that get on the floor and play with their kids. There are the dads that don't get on the floor. Be the dad that gets on the floor with the kids. So a special happy Father's Day to those dads. I was fortunate enough to get away with my two little ones, my 5 and 2-year-old. We went to Des Moines. Happy belated birthday to Aunt Elizabeth, who turned 87 years old. We also made our way out to an Iowa Cubs game. And in 2010, I did play-by-play for the Oklahoma City Redhawks. So I did a season in AAA. I've always loved minor league baseball. It was something that my late father and I would do if we were on vacation. No matter where we were always looking to find a minor league game and just get to the ballpark. I've always loved the ballpark. One of the great things about AAA is you can see this great combination of prospects. And then you're like, oh, that's where that guy is. So the Louisville Bats absolutely thumped the I-Cubs, right? And the I-Cubs aren't bad. You know, this is the Cubs AAA team. They're 36-31. And the Louisville Bats are 10 games under 500. They won 14-2. Louisville scored 7 runs in the 4th inning before the I-Cubs got a single out. When they did get an out, there was like this very sarcastic, somewhat almost standing ovation to celebrate them finally getting an out after 7 runs. You know who was in the Louisville lineup? Jamer Candelario. You remember Edwin Rios as well? Jamer's been a Cub a couple of times. Rios was a Cub in 2023. But I'll say this about, and I did not get a lot of time to watch the game with a 5 and a 2-year-old. The hardest ball hit, and there were a number of home runs in this game, Owen Casey dropped some head. I mean, this dude laced a ball that just sounded different than everybody else. But one thing I know about working in AAA, it is all about the big league club. If they need an arm and you have a game upcoming that may help you get, you know, a better spot in the playoffs, nobody cares. Nobody cares anything about how you can serve the big league club, which is great. But it also makes you wonder, Moises Ballesteros, who I got to see play, he was the catcher in that game, could he be on the move? Owen Casey, one of their top prospects, could he be on the move for whatever Jed Hoyer plans on doing at the trade deadline that is coming up? Last day would be July 31st. Tom Verducci of the MLB Network, I believe of Fox, of SI, he is not on the X, which is usually where we go to check these guys' bios. Tom Verducci, one of the best baseball men out there. Great conversation with Spiegel Holmes earlier today. Wanted to bring you a little bit of it, including conversations about what the future looks like for Kyle Tucker.
I'd like to believe that, yeah. I mean, because he's the right player at the right time, right? I mean, really. You can make a case with some other players who've come on the market that maybe it's not the right kind of player, you know, whether it was someone like a Juan Soto, who I know people say, you know, he's really not a great base runner, not a great defender. There's reasons you can find to knock one of the great hitters of our generation. But how do you knock Kyle Tucker, right? And he's producing exactly how you thought he would, just a steady, reliable player in all phases of the game. So, yes, I think the Cubs have to be involved in it. Where the number goes, you know, the recent signing has been great for Kyle Tucker, whether it was Soto or Vlad Guerrero. I mean, his market is only going to continue to go up. Do you win that bidding war? I don't know, but absolutely the Cubs have what it takes to remain in that bidding war.
Is it already too late to sign Pete Kerr Armstrong to an extension?
No, you put that right number on the table, it's never too late. I love that story, by the way. And I know he came up as a guy with a lot of promise and speed and great defender. Would he ever hit that kind of thing? I just love the story because I know we talk a lot as fans and media about payrolls, right? And we equate payroll with commitment. I look a lot, guys, at now major league development. We think of player development as minor leagues, right? And I look around the teams that, you know, like Cleveland with their pitching or Milwaukee, the way they do it. People go in there and they all of a sudden they're playing better. I'm looking at the Cubs now, and I got to tell you, with their staff now, they're doing a great job. I mean, just last year, the adjustments they made with PCA in the middle of the season, team goes to Kansas City, they bring him in the cage. They take away the drift in his approach at the plate, and they have him hitting off his backside. He's a completely different hitter. Now, it takes aptitude. It takes athleticism to really do that. But the fact is they did it. And then you look at the rotation this year with the injuries, and you have, you know, the Tyones and the Reyes and, you know, mid-30 guys really stepping up and picking up innings and throwing the ball really well. It's a credit to the Major League coaching staff. So I like watching the way the Cubs play baseball, sort of like Milwaukee. Very athletic, right? Defend the field well, put the ball in play. But as far as PCA goes, yeah, I would try to lock him up as soon as possible because the comp I've used on him is Jim Edmonds. I think you're looking at a guy who's got tremendous power potential. We're starting to just see that now, but we know he's an impact player defensively. You know, he's Edmonds with a little more speed, too. Don't get me wrong. He can steal a lot more bases, but a center fielder, it's a hard position to fill in the big leagues these days. And if you do that with power, good luck making a long list and find those guys.
Totally agree with Tom Verducci about the way the Cubs have been developing people at the big league level. It's a credit to Craig Counsell and the coaching staff and Jed Hoyer. So now as the trade deadline approaches, who's the best starting pitcher they could possibly go and get? Because they'll need one. Is it Sandy Alcantara? Are the Braves going to put Chris Sale on the trade block? Who's the best guy they could go get?
Yeah, I would be surprised the Braves move people. They've been a great second half team there. And the fan base there, the way the team is built, I don't think they're built to cash it in after, you know, we've seen them last year and the year they won the World Series play really well the last 2-3 months. I like Alcantara a lot. And just watching his more recent starts, they've been a lot better. He had a real hard time getting the ball to both sides of the plate. Now he's starting to command the ball the way he did before. The velocity has been okay. I mean, it's what we see a lot with Tommy John guys coming back, right? Their velo is good, and you look at the metrics of the pitches, and you say, you know, the guy's back. But command-wise, no, he wasn't even close the first month or two of the season. But I see a fully healthy guy, command coming back. I'm betting on the upside here, not when you look at the numbers, 7-something ERA doesn't look pretty. I think he's trending the right way. Listen, I don't think the Devers deal was a shock, right? Partly because we just don't see trades in June. So we're still probably a good month away from these things kind of percolating. But I would say Alcantara to me, because I always say you trade for a starting pitcher, he better be somebody who can start one of the first three games of postseason series for you. And I think he's the best option, will be the best option.
That's Tom Verducci with Spiegel & Holmes. Again, you can find the full interview on the Odyssey app. There's a rewind function in the Odyssey app, especially go to 670 The Score. The big interviews, they are right there for you. Just scroll down and you'll see it all laid out. Enjoy that very much with Verducci. Some other good stuff in there as well. And Lawrence, I thought, brought up a very interesting point in this Rafael Devers blockbuster trade with a fractured relationship between the Red Sox and Devers. And you know, Devers is like, what position you want me to play? And they're like, we've got a few of them. And he's like, well, I'm not going to play this one and this one because you didn't tell me this from the beginning, and back and forth and back and forth. The Red Sox, they got some players in return, but they also got out of a good bit or a majority of that salary. So then that kind of brings them back to the market to purchase another star in 2026, excuse me. So with the move of Devers and him no longer on the books, how does that impact just another bidder that could be going after the Kyle Tucker services, right? I it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough. Do I want to see Kyle Tucker stick around? Absolutely. Do we realistically think Tom Ricketts is going to put up the bucks? Someone that seems to be keeping it rather close to the vest with 2027 approaching, with the CBA issues there, I don't know. But the Red Sox look like they could be back in the market for another major star. Our final stop, coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The ejection of Nico was completely unwarranted, and there's nothing that was said that warrants an ejection. I mean, you can't eject players and affect outcomes of games for no offense.
All right, final stop here for us tonight on 670 The Score. Great job by Tyler Buterbaugh grinding it out. And if you missed any of it, our guest today at 6 o'clock hour, Mike Kolick Jr., I thought was very good covering the Bears and the NFL in that discussion. Alex Cohen of Marquee Sports Network does a great job always when he fills in for John Shambi. Alex talks some Cubs with us in the 7 o'clock hour. And Chris Emma, our very own Chris Emma, was great in the 8 o'clock hour covering the Bears, the running back room, and what practice has been like, the intensity. Really says he's been covering the Bears for 11 years, and it's been the loudest, the most intense he's seen. So those were the guests we had tonight. If you missed any of it, find it there at the Odyssey app. Find it online, 670thescore.com as well. That Craig Counsell soundbite, does it feel like the Cubs have been getting some very, very poor umpiring as of late? I know Nico Hoerner thought so because he told one of the umpires, hey, dude, you're just having a bad day. You're just having a bad day. So here's an idea. Here's the thought. How about during the All-Star game, what if they tease, we've got a big announcement. We've got a big announcement to make. And then during the game, they let us know we have decided to bring the ABS system for the back half of the season. You know, they're doing it in AAA. I watched it in an iCubs game. I watched a hitter challenge a call. They did the review, and he was right. And so instead of a strike, it was a ball. And I think that the automated balls and strikes, I loved it in spring training. I thought it was awesome in spring training. And there's so many variables that go into it. You know, Nick Wright of Fox Sports, best friend of Danny Parkins, that Nick Wright, he had an interesting idea. He went, you know, this got some speed. Because, you know, you've been watching the NBA playoffs, and every time there's a close play, you see a finger or you see a player waving their finger in the air, challenge it, challenge it, challenge it, take a look at it, challenge it. I'm tired of seeing it. And so Nick had the idea, how about as soon as you do that with your finger, boom, you've done it. You've challenged it. That's your one challenge. And that would have been very unique to basketball. Because in every sport, there's a lot of challenges that happen, right? Everyone can challenge things nowadays because of technology. It's all done by a manager or head coach. So what I love about it is this is the first time it would be decided, because in the ABS system, it can only be done by a pitcher, a catcher, or the hitter. It has nothing to do with the managers or coaches. It is automatic. Boom. And I find it very interesting. If you've got a hitter that's terrible and a manager has to be like, dude, you're not allowed to challenge anything. I don't know what you're looking at, but you can't challenge it anymore. So I think that the ABS system that we watched in spring training should be implemented immediately, right after the All-Star break. It will never happen, but I thought that it would show some great flexibility and creativity for Major League Baseball to just adopt something immediately. All right, that'll do it for us here tonight. Cubs baseball back tomorrow night, 7:05 first pitch, 6:30 pregame, as the Cubs jump back in division against the second place Milwaukee Brewers at Wrigley Field with Ben Brown on the mound. Great job by you, Tyler Butabaugh. Thanks for all of your efforts. I'm Judson Richards. Follow me on Twitter, on X, whatever it's called. Let's do it. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.